I'm very happy now to welcome Rebecca Schanberg. Her film, Do No Harm, is screening as part of the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival this coming Wednesday at 7:30 at Warehouse 21. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks so much for having me.
So this is a story of whistleblowers in a nonprofit hospital in Georgia who brought forward this huge scandal involving extremely wealthy wealthy hospitals who were gouging uninsured patients. Who were these two men, these two whistleblowers?
Well, they were actually hospital. They were affiliated with the hospital. One of them was a surgeon, and at one time he was the chief of surgery there. And the other one was his, he had an independent practice, and this was his practice accountant and practice manager. And so the two of them kind of worked together. One did the financial work, and one did the kind of external work about what was going on at the hospital.
How did you find out about them?
It was interesting. They had eventually gotten to Dick Scruggs of Big Tobacco fame, the lawyer who actually brought down Big Tobacco, and they had gotten to him to try to file a class action lawsuit on behalf of uninsured patients around the country. And when they reached him, he actually hired a public relations firm to do work for him around the country as big hospital systems were being involved in these lawsuits, because he knew that would cause a lot of controversy. And someone I knew at that PR firm actually began telling me about the story, and I got so interested in it that I'm really interested in them, because their story was so incredible, that we flew down to Atlanta to meet them, and that's how it all started.
What were some of the practices that this particular hospital was doing?
I think the main thing that really got them engaged in the story was that the hospital itself was using different levels of what they call master charge rates to figure out how much to charge patients. And when you're insured, they give you a discounted master charge rate. I'm sure if you've gotten a big bill from the hospital, when your insurance actually pays it, they pay a fraction of that charge usually. Maybe it's 50%, maybe it's a little bit more. What the hospital was doing was using the higher number to charge all uninsured patients. So basically, the people who had the least protection and the least amount of leverage were getting charged the most money, and they were going bankrupt.
And these are nonprofit hospitals that get big tax breaks, and they're supposed to provide something in return for being nonprofit and for getting such big breaks.
That's right. That's right.
What is it that they're supposed to provide? What's their end of it supposed to be?
Well, it's community benefit, and I think the issue really is that that's a very loosely defined term. They are supposed to be responsible for their communities, working with their communities. And at least in this case, and this isn't true for every nonprofit hospital, but for many, in this case, the hospital became an independent entity, really operating for money. Its officers made a ton of money, had contracts with the hospital to make more money, and it just basically wasn't really looking out for the community anymore. It had employees whose wages were being garnished by the hospital itself. And it really, there were a lot of things that could have been done by the hospital to take care of people in the community that they weren't doing.
So basically, the hospital's own employees didn't have health insurance, and then when they got sick and needed medical services in their own hospital, they were actually suing their own employees and garnishing their wages.
They were suing their own employees, and they actually, many of them did have health insurance through the hospital, but it was so bad that they didn't have good coverage, and they had to, some of them, we actually have one in the film who ended up having to go to a soup kitchen to get food for her kids. She was bringing home so little money every week that she couldn't support them, and the hospital knew that.
You know, during the whole movement leading up to healthcare reform, there were so many stories about, for example, insurance company executives who were living like kings with just untold riches while the company was failing to or refusing to pay claims for sick people who were utterly vulnerable. This isn't even about health insurance. This is about the hospitals themselves, but it's like the same story.
Well, I think what's really... Well, what I've heard from advocates around the country, the film has actually been screened by advocates all over, is that what was really addressed by health care reform was health insurance reform. And hospital financial reform hasn't actually happened yet. The hospitals, although there are practices and there are different kind of laws in place and protections in place for patients around the country now, and many of those will go into effect within the next 6 months, and advocates are working very hard to make sure that some of those protections actually get played out on the hospital level. For example, patients are not allowed to have their bills sent to collection agencies. That's one protection. But the issue is, really, if you go back to what the hospitals are billing, those numbers are what hasn't been looked at.
Right.
Because those numbers are so hard to decipher. What's the right number? What does it really cost a hospital to give an MRI? Those kinds of numbers. So that's really the issue. Once you change those numbers and you go right back to the beginning of where these charges are coming from, then people won't go bankrupt. You don't need protections because those numbers won't be so high.
And there are plenty of other countries that control and regulate those numbers. And MRI, we did an interview about this a year or two ago with T.R. Reid. An MRI in Japan costs the same in every single doctor's office you go to because that's a regulated number.
Right, and I'm not surprised. I mean, there are people who came forward while we were making the film who told us they were hospital suppliers. The guy who would sell the slings to the hospital when someone would break an arm, he would sell them for $7, and the hospital would sell them for $120.
Right. Yeah.
Right out of its dispensary, you know, and right. It's that kind of a thing. So I'm not surprised to hear that.
What was so interesting about this is that the hospital that you focus on in your film, we're talking about the film Do No Harm with Rebecca Schanberg, the filmmaker, the hospital, Phoebe Putney, what really didn't handle itself in a very intelligent way. They came out basically wielding threats and money and so on, but they didn't know that the press would really report on them doing the things they did, and it kind of turned against them.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you say that because I think they really didn't. They really had a sense of arrogance about them. And they still do. They really don't think they can be touched. It's a pretty amazing thing.
What percentage of the hospitals in the U.S. are nonprofit hospitals? And do we have any sense of how many of them are engaging in this kind of thing?
No, I don't know the exact numbers. The last time I asked someone the number, they said about 85% of the hospitals in the United States are nonprofit. And there are, some of these practices are just standard practices, and to a large degree, some of it isn't actually malicious. It's just that the financial side of the hospital is completely cut off from the human side of the hospital. They don't actually realize that what they do creates this type of a result. But some of them do know, and they've made a choice to become profitable so they can build new buildings and all kinds of other things. And we actually covered one in the film here in Chicago, where we're from. The Northwestern Hospital, which is a fantastic hospital, and I actually gave birth to two children there, they have rebuilt their entire campus at a cost of over $1 billion in a decade. And their charity care is less than 2%. They're actually cutting it back. It's a very well-known thing that Northwestern does not give good charity care. And that's the type of thing where a hospital that is so successful in a city that people don't want to mess with it. It's a good hospital, has incredible quality of care for those who can afford it, and people don't want to bring down a hospital like that. And the hospitals claim that they don't have enough money to give away more. And so it's a fight that's almost impossible to prove because the hospitals can use different sets of numbers for different things. And they can say that they can use the inflated number to say that they gave this much charity, and their costs can be a lot lower. And it's a very big, very difficult battle to fight, I think.
This film illustrates to me, among other things, the incredible importance of the media in doing investigative reporting, and these little newspapers in Georgia that you portray are working on a shoestring budget, but they still did their work. And it and the importance of documentary films like yours, it points out how scary the apparent imminent demise of newspapers really is.
I agree. I mean, one of the papers we had in the film that you are referring to, I think, went you know, went under right after we interviewed them. And it was terrible because, you know, that was 6 weeks later and they were gone. And I think you're right. I think it really, when you try to show this story to the major news media, they have a really hard time covering it because it isn't easy to prove and because the resources that they would need to devote to this kind of a piece are just enormous and they don't have them anymore.
Rebecca Schanberg is a filmmaker. Her film is called Do No Harm. Its screening is part of the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival this Wednesday, the 20th of October at 7:30 at Warehouse 21. It's a very important film to see, and it's really well done. I thank you so much for making it, for being with us here on KSFR.
Thanks so much for having me.